Hi everyone. My usual method in putting these videos together is to do everything just in time. But because I'm going away, from the perspective of you as you watch this, because I've been away, this video is being recorded unusually early. And so some of what I say might seem at odds with what's actually going on in the real world or in the life of our church, and I apologise for that. But I want to begin by reading words from Scripture that speak of who God is. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the
So I'm very pleased not to be left alone by myself in the attic this morning, but to be able to speak to Alan, who is our youth and children's outreach worker and has been working away throughout lockdown since we began back in March. So hi, Alan, it's good to see you. How are you doing and how are your family?
Yes, we're all doing well, keeping well health-wise, and the family are all well. Lydia has obviously grown from a wee baby, into a toddler who's running about and causing havoc. So yeah, it's good. Everyone's doing well, and we've both been very, very fortunate that we were both able to work full time during the whole lockdown process. But that had a bit of a challenge as well, having to look after a 1-year-old. But we're here, and God has been good, and he's helped us through to get to where we are today. So, yeah.
I'd be interested just winding back the clock and reflecting on how things have been for you and for youth work. So we could dwell on the things that you've not been able to do and all the things that have been cancelled. But I'm aware that in the place of those things, various new things have sprung up that you've thrown yourself into. So it'd be great to hear about some of those things, what you've tried to do, and how you found it, how it's gone.
Yeah, so very, very different way of working. When the whole lockdown thing started, I got together with one of my friends who's a youth worker. She just stays around the corner over Zoom. We had a quick chat, and she was saying that she was thinking about drafting an online programme. So I thought, we need to get ahead of the game here. And I sat with her and kind of thrashed out a rough programme for both of us, really. And throughout the online programme, it ran for 3 months or so. We're still doing bits here and there over the summer. But the online programme consisted of things like quizzes, encouraging people with stories of hope that people had maybe seen. There was various challenges, like a selfie challenge and a stay-at-home challenge throughout the week. And then there was a competition scoreboard where people could earn points and win prizes and different things like that. So we kept that running for 3 months, and it was quite successful. We've seen quite a lot of people engaging with it at the start, and obviously as people get more used to the way of life during lockdown, the numbers kind of dropped off a wee bit, but it was very encouraging. So I think in total there was about 25 different families who engaged with that over the course of it being live online. So that was on like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And we would host like Zoom quizzes once a month as well, which tried to keep in touch with some of the families and young people who would come to the youth cafe and also kids club, because a lot of those kids and families don't come to the church. It's mainly through the school connection. So we tried to think of a way of connecting with them. So again, those quizzes were great, and we had a lot of people engaging with them as well. And included in all of the quizzes, we had like a wee kind of video that made people think a bit more about the whole situation and how God's in control. So trying to keep contact with people has been the main thing. As you know, we've got a group of young leaders who have kind of grown up through Kids Club, and we've tried to keep in contact with them as well, just by having various Zoom chats with all the volunteers and including them in that as well. So we've managed to keep in touch with most of the young people, but there obviously are some that we're not able to keep in touch with, but very, very positive. Also, we've managed to keep a Blast operating in some form, with weekly material that we've been sending out to parents that they can work through with their kids over the weekends. And we've been using the SU Explore material for that, but that's just came to an end now, so we're starting our own material as of Sunday past there, and that's all about God's judges. So just working our way through that over the summer and into the new term. And we've also managed to keep, for the slightly older young people, we've managed to keep a Bible class operating on a fortnightly basis. We've had probably about 6 young people on average attending that each week, and some of whom wouldn't normally come on a Sunday when we would normally run it during the church service. So it's been positive. It has been a bit of a struggle trying to get used to the technology, but I think we're all in the same boat there. And as you do it, the more often you do it, the more you get more confident with it. And I think the young people are becoming a bit more confident with it as well. But it's been good. And just trying to operate as much as we can, thinking creatively, with God's help, that is, because there's only so much creativity we can come up with on our own. But just being inspired by taking time to pray and ask him to guide us. And yeah, we've really seen his favour in a lot of the things that we've done.
Anything else, but for you as a Christian, I wonder if there's anything from the Bible, from God's word, that has been particularly helpful to you or has spoken to you over the last few months that you could share with us?
So there's a couple of passages that I'm going to share with you. The first one is quite a well-known psalm that has helped on a daily basis for myself and Ruth. I'm just being reminded that God's in control. So I'll read that to you now. It's Psalm 121. And it says this: I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm, and he will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And I guess that's just been a daily reminder to us as a family that even although times are not what we would choose them to be, and we've maybe had days where we've been struggling, that God is ultimately the one who's in control, and he's the one who can give us the strength that we need when we feel like we're at our end of our energy. God is the one who can sustain us. He's the one who can re-energize us. He's the one who protects us and looks out for us on a daily basis. So that's on a personal level, that's been a psalm that I've constantly been reading over and reminding myself and thanking God for the fact that he's in control. And obviously the busyness of looking after Lydia and working and all that, sometimes it can get on top of you. And I think taking a bit of time to think and reflect about what that actually means, that psalm, has been very, very helpful. So that's the first one. And the other one, the other passage that God has really been speaking to me through this time, and also maybe a couple of years before all of this started happening, is from Isaiah 43. And it says, this is what the Lord says: he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, he who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So that has been a passage that God has really spoken to me about over the past couple of years. And the whole kind of context of that, that's when Isaiah's prophesying and basically telling the Israelite people who've forgotten about God and they're starting to live their life their own way. He's saying there that God is going to make a way for them to come back to him. And I really felt that during this time, God is using this time to prepare the ground, to prepare the world for new ways that he's going to be working to bring people who maybe at one time knew about him, who had maybe attended church, who maybe went to Sunday club when they were younger. He's preparing a way for them to be brought back to him. And it's not going to be a way that he's used before. It might be something different. So I guess we can see sort of glimmers of that in the new partnership work that we're doing with other youth workers in the area. But I think that's just the start of it. So I guess kind of excited and encouraged by that passage. And it's more of a bigger picture challenge that I've been getting regularly through that passage. So yeah, those are two passages that have really been speaking to me over the course of lockdown. And obviously the Isaiah one has been on my heart for the past couple of years as well.
Great. And I know even within our church, I mean, although there's lots of things you do and initiate, you have a great gift of drawing in other people to work alongside you, volunteers who help with everything from all the different groups to all day club to the online program, all of that. And I just wondered if you could give us a few more pointers of how we could be praying for you and all those who are involved in youth work as we negotiate this time together. And you've already given us some fuel for prayer and the things you've said, but are there any other particular things that would just be helpful for us to take on board.
Thank people for your continued prayer during this time, because normally I would come up with some ideas, but the amount of ideas and having to think on your feet and being creative and being original and all that type of stuff doesn't usually come naturally to me. So got a real sense that people are obviously praying for the youth work and praying for myself and Ruth and Lydia, and the fact that God has given all these ideas or brought me into contact with other people who have helped me with the ideas has been a real amazing thing. So just to thank everyone for your continued prayer, and ask that you would continue to pray for the youth work, for the young people, for the volunteers who would normally work alongside them, and that God would just continue to give us more opportunities in our local community, if it be in the schools again, if it be other places, and that he would continue to guide us in terms of our partnership working with local churches.
If we're going to pray in an informed way for young people as they start heading back to school, what are the kind of things that are on your mind as you're praying for young people?
So I think, just before I give you some prayer points, that something that's been quite interesting through this whole lockdown process, we've really had young people dealing with this whole situation in three different ways. So the first way, the young people who self-isolating from people and locking themselves away in their room, that's something they would be comfortable doing every day if they didn't need to go to school. So some of the young people have responded to it like that, like, great, this is amazing, I can go into my room and lock myself away, I don't need to engage with people. So that's the first type. The second type of young people are the ones who are really anxious about everything, and they're not really sure about their exam results, they're not sure about what school's going to look like, and they're just quite worried about the whole situation, and that's obviously having quite a bad effect on their mental health and different things like that. And then there's the third, where they just don't pay attention to any of the rules and they just go about their everyday life. So I know the press has picked up on the fact that a lot of young people are just meeting up and they're not really taken into account. But the young people I've spoken to, they've basically dealt with it in those three ways. So I guess prayer points for them would be the ones who are maybe a bit more quieter and would really struggle normally engaging with people in a social relationship way. I think prayer for them that this whole experience doesn't cause them to be secluded from groups of friends that they maybe had in school and out with school, so that they would have the confidence and be able to re-engage with school and their peer groups. I guess the second group of young people, the ones who are anxious and maybe having struggles with their mental health, I guess just prayer for their mental well-being and their full health, that they would return to things and they wouldn't be anxious, they wouldn't be worried, that they would come to a realisation that God is someone that they can turn to for help during the whole situation. And I guess the young people who have just went against the rules and done their own thing, I guess just prayer that they would have a realisation that the rules are put in place for a reason, and that they would understand why things are the way they are and just not think that they're invincible. So I guess just prayer for health is probably the main thing, because a lot of the young people I've been speaking to, they mention mental health problems. Mm-hmm. And I guess that comes from a lack of communicating with their friends and being able to go out and about and exercise at the gym or whatever they would normally do. So a lack of all of that stuff has had quite a big impact on some of them. So I think just prayer for all of that, but ultimately that this whole experience wouldn't push them away from God. It would bring them towards God. Because a lot of the young leaders that we have don't come to the church. We've had lots of chat about faith and God and how God's relevant to them. And some of them were close, some of them were not really interested. But I feel that this whole experience has maybe brought some of them closer and maybe driven some of the others away. So I guess just prayer that God would continue to work in their lives and bring them closer to Him.
Yeah, I guess it shouldn't surprise us that young people are wrestling with grown-up questions that lots of us have found ourselves rehearsing in our own thinking.
Yeah.
You know, how do I make sense of all this? Where do I take my worry? Where do I take my frustration or even anger at the way things have panned out? And so, yeah, a privilege to pray for our young people in that way. Great. Thanks for sharing that, Alan. And while we've got on the video, I think this would be a good opportunity to just thank you for all that you've done and the way that you've done it from the beginning of lockdown all the way through. And I know there were things planned for the summer that you'd already put lots of work and effort into that were cancelled overnight. And I've not heard a single complaint from you. You've just got on with the new situation and that's been great. And I know a lot of families and young people are really thankful for the input that's come through Partick Trinity Youth, whether it's online and the informal contact as well. So thank you for that. And we will be praying for you, praying for Ruth and Lydia as well, as you continue to feel out these ever-changing circumstances. And I'd like to pray for you right now, and we'll be praying for some of the things that you've mentioned. So let's do that. God, our Father, I thank you for your goodness to us and the way in which you watch over us and protect us and sustain us, and the reminders we find in Scripture that you really are in control, even if we are confronted by things that surprise us, that are difficult and even painful. We thank you for the work that Alan has been doing with young people and their families, and the way in which you have unleashed creativity in him and in others as they've tried to deal with all the obstacles so that we can engage with young people and share in their lives and the things that are real and things that are difficult to them, and share some of the good news that is made known to us in Jesus, of the God who's made us and loves us, and a God who has made wonderful promises. And so I ask that you would look after those young people as they anticipate and get ready to go back to school, knowing that things will be different. And for all those different types of responses to the experience of lockdown, that you would help us to know how to reach those who have enjoyed being buried away and may find a return to the busyness and social demands of normal life a struggle. And also for those for whom it's been a really worrying and troublesome time, a complete lack of peace in their thinking and in their how they feel about themselves and the world. And for those who have, in a sense, just carried on as if there was nothing to worry about, potentially putting themselves and others at risk, who would know how to reach them and support them. We thank you for your faithfulness so far, and trust into your hands the days ahead. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance Messiah still and all along. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore, for endless days. the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trample death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name. Shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the
Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say. If the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We've escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen.
This psalm invites us to pray to God in a way that takes nothing for granted. And the psalm follows a pattern that we see time and time again in the Psalms, and actually in many of the songs that we sing in worship. And the pattern goes like this. It begins with a recognition, a seeing clearly something that is true about who God is or what God has done. And following the recognition, there is a response. A response can be in the form of confession or adoration or renewed commitment or whatever it is. We see this pattern in the song that we just sang. It follows, rehearses the great events of all that God has done for us in Jesus. And then the chorus brings us to make our response. We recognise what Jesus has done, and then we respond in praising his name and offering our devotion. So the psalm begins, verses 1 to 5, with a recognition of a truth about God, and more than that, a recognition of the difference that it makes. And the truth is this, the truth is that God is faithful to his children, that God is with and for his people, or to use the language of the psalm as it is prayed and sung by God's people, God is on their side. And we see the difference that it makes. It makes all the difference in the world. Verses 2 to 5, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared against us, the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. If God was not with and for his people, there would have been defeat, destruction, they would have been forgotten. I guess we see this play out in all the different stages in the story of God's people. For example, if God had not been with and for Jacob's messy family, that the cruel treatment of Joseph would have brought only guilt and tears and misery. But instead, it brought reconciliation within that family, and it brought a rescue from famine for that family and for all the people around. If God was not with and for Joseph's descendants in Egypt, as Pharaoh turned against them, they would have simply languished in slavery. But instead, God raised up Moses and humbled Pharaoh and delivered his people through the sea. And even as their pursuers were swept away in the torrent. If God was not with and for his people, Joshua, Gideon, David and Elijah would have known only defeat and retreat. But instead, the walls of Jericho tumbled. The cowering Gideon defeated the might of Midian. The shepherd boy David killed the giant Goliath. An isolated Elijah embarrassed the masked prophets of Baal. If God was not with and for his people, there would be no child in the manger, no Emmanuel, no God with us, no cross, and no empty tomb. It's in Jesus Christ that we get the confidence that God is with us. And that God is for us, that God is on our side. And Jesus himself invites us to see the difference that that makes. In John chapter 15, verse 5, it's put like this, these words coming from Jesus' mouth as he says to his friends, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, if the Lord were not on our side, we could do nothing. Apart from Jesus, apart from the vine, we'd remain unforgiven, unredeemed, unrescued, unfound, unloved, unfruitful. But Jesus is totally emphatic. I am the vine. There is a note of total assurance that we find here in the psalm as well. And in verses 6 to 8, the Lord has not been found wanting. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. With the Lord on their side, they found a way despite all that has stood against them. In contested territory, they have continued to stand firm. So the closing words of the psalm express a note of total confidence. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. See, the person who says those words or who prays those words is not the kind of person who never needs help. That's the very opposite. They were and will be completely dependent upon God. But God has proven to them that he is on their side, and they trust that God will remain on their side, that God is with them and that God is for them. So this psalm offers us a pattern for a way of praying where nothing's taken for granted. Perhaps consider where we would stand if it were not for God. And from that perspective, we can join in the celebration. We can recognise and respond in praise to all that God has done for us, all that God has given to us through Jesus Christ, his Son. Let us pray. Maker of heaven and earth, as you rescued Daniel from the lions, we ask that you would protect us from the evil that threatens us and surrounds us. As you save Noah from the flood, keep us from drowning in trouble. You have freed us from the power of sin. You have blessed the work of our hands and our minds all through Jesus Christ, your Son. And recognizing who he is, we respond to you in praise and with thanksgiving now and always. Amen.
Church, arise and put your armour on. Hear the call of Christ the Captain. For now the weak can say that they are strong in the strength that God has given. With shield of faith and belt of truth, we'll stand against the devil's lies. An army bold, whose battle cry is love, reaching out to those in darkness. Our call to war, to love the captive soul, but to rage against the captor. And with the sword that makes the wounded whole, we will fight with faith and valor. When faced with trials on every side, we know the outcome is secure, and Christ will have the prize for which he died, an inheritance of nations. Come see the cross where love and mercy meet, as the Son of God is stricken. Then see his foes lie crushed beneath his feet, for the conqueror has risen. And as the stone is rolled away, and Christ emerges from the grave, his victory march continues till the day every eye and heart shall see him. Spirit, come, put strength in every stride, give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful. As saints of old still light the way, retailing triumphs of his grace, we hear the cause and hunger for the day when with Christ we stand in glory.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.